Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. God says, "Return to me, and I'll return to you. Forsake your ways, and follow my ways. Love me, and serve me, and I will bless you." This is the message that God has for us. But too many people want to have a religion and say they're Christian. Too many people want to rely on the fact, well, we're descended from Abraham. God wants to know what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what do you really believe? Do you really love me with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? God wants to know that. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? God wants to know that. Do you keep the commandments of God through the grace of God in the Spirit as Jesus requires? What is it that you have been taught from the pulpit? Why is it that there are so many pagan and heathen things that are practiced and endorsed by the so-called Christian church, if it be Christian? Remember what Jesus said, "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many." He also said, "Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. For broad is the way, and wide is the gate." We can add, "easy, and the majority of people go that way." What category do you fit in? Do you love God and keep His commandments? Did you know that the things that we are doing in the name of Christianity are the exact abominations that God said, don't do? Now here, we have the historical account of a king Manasseh, and he began to reign when he was 12 years old, and his father Hezekiah was righteous. And so just like every upstart generation that follows their elders, what did he do? Well, here in 2 Chronicles 33, it said, he reigned for 55 years. Now, in America, you can be thankful. If you have a president who isn't doing good, you can vote him out of office. But think about a king of 55 years. And let's see what he did. And let's see what happened to the whole society. And let's see what he did right at the very temple of God, which is tantamount to what people say, oh, we're Christian and we keep Christmas, when God says it's an abomination. Oh, but it's so wonderful and nice. But really, is it? Is that not a false thing that comes from Satan? Doesn't Satan want you to be happy? Doesn't Satan want you to be content? Doesn't Satan want you to believe that your effort, even though it's against God, pleases God? Verse 2, 2 Chronicles 33 about Manasseh. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. God said, don't go find out what they did. Don't do what they do. And yet we find that Christmas is one of the very central holidays that they did back there in worship of the sun god. He built again the high places, the altars for the different gods, which Hezekiah's father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam. Balaam is the plural of sun gods. Now let's continue on and see what Manasseh did. And I want you to think about the state of the nation and the state of the world, that they're doing everything that Manasseh did and caused the people of Judah and Jerusalem to do. He reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven. Ever heard of astrology? And served them and built altars in the house of the Lord, of which God said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Think of that. Think of the effrontery to God. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he observed times. and enchantments and used witchcraft, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That's exactly what we're doing. Look at what is happening to Christianity today. That's why we're producing the book, Lord, What Should I Do? When I see everything that I thought was Christian falling apart before my very eyes. The reason is because they've gone against God. And the reason is that they have rejected the Word of God. The reason is they have turned their backs to God to worship the sun on Sunday. The false Jesus, the Mithras, the one that God said, do not do. Now let's see a little bit more about Christmas. Because everyone says, oh, this is the most wonderful time of the year, and it's so wonderful and nice and good, and everyone is friendly, and everything is just fine. Yes, and you're loaded down with debt, and you buy presents, and you lie to your children. Some people commit adultery and fornication, and it carries over into New Year's, and then whoopee, they end everything with the grand finale of New Year's. And then the hangover sits in. And here in America, then the United States government sends out their tax forms. And all of the credit card companies send you their bills, which now they charge 25.69% interest. Wonderful religious freedom, right? In a book called The Golden Bough, Fraser further instructs us about the preeminence of Christmas in the pagan world. He says, quote, an instructive relic of the long struggle between true Christianity and occult Christianity or Mithraism is preserved in our festival of Christmas, which the church seemed to have borrowed directly from its heathen rival. Well, if you can't beat them, join them, huh? Continuing now. The Julian calendar of the 25th of December was reckoned the winter solstice and was regarded as the nativity of the sun because the day began to lengthen and the power of the sun to increase from that turning point of the year. The Egyptians even represented the newborn sun by the image of an infant which on his birthday, the winter solstice, they brought forth and exhibited to his worshippers. Today we call that the nativity scene. No doubt the virgin who thus conceived and bore a son on the 25th of December was the great oriental goddess whom the Semites called the heavenly virgin, or simply the heavenly goddess. In Semitic land, she was a form of Ashtaroth, queen of heaven. Right out of Egypt, where did God take his people from? Took them from Egypt. Said, don't do those things. But what do? Exactly like that, right? Yes, indeed. Now, this Egyptian practice, Christians do today, and it's all because of St. Francis of Assisi. Oh, what a wonderful saint that this man was when you come to understand it. Quote now, the church celebrates the Nativity on December 25th. Many churches and homes set up a crib at Christmas time. This custom, although very ancient origin in ancient pagan Egypt, was popularized by St. Francis of Assisi in the year 1223, 12 centuries after the beginning of the Christian church. Sound a little bit like Manasseh? He visited Pope Honorius III and sought approval of his plans to make a scenic representation of the Nativity. Oh, that's wonderful. Have the papal endorsement. Of course. What greater authority could you get to endorse your idolatry? Having obtained the Pope's consent, Francis left Rome and continued to Grecia. On Christmas Eve, there in the church, he constructed a crib grouping the images of the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph, of the shepherds, the ox, the ass, and at midnight mass, Saint Francis acted as a deacon and after singing the words of the gospel, They laid him in a manger, and he knelt down and meditated on the great gift of the incarnation. And people saw around in his arms a child surrounded with the most brilliant light. Since then, the devotion of this crib has spread far and wide. From My Catholic Faith by Morrow, page 71. Now let's look at some other things that we have of Christmas. And as we do, ask yourself the question, should I continue in Christmas or not? No, that's not the right question. The question is, do I really believe God in the Word of God? That's the question. What am I willing to give up? And really what you're doing is not giving up something of great value. You're forsaking that which is evil and an abomination to God. Now, Christmas tree, we've already covered it. But do you know who that represents? The son of Nimrod, the rebel after the flood who set up the original Babylon. The star, the five-pointed star, is a powerful symbol of Satan, second only to the hexagram. The star is the sacred symbol of Nimrod and has nothing to do with Christianity. Candles represent the sun god's newly born fire. Pagans the world over love and use candles in their rituals and ceremonies. Certain colors also are thought to represent specific powers. Extensive use of candles is usually a very good indication that a service is pagan, regardless of its outer trappings. What do you know about that? Are we Christian or are we pagan? We're pagan. The world is pagan. Christian Biblical Church of God and Church at Home have nothing to do with Christmas. We observe and keep the weekly Sabbath, the Passover, the holy days of God, as God commanded and found everywhere through the Old and New Testament when you come to understand it. All right. Mistletoe, the sacred plant of the Druids. And what do they do on Christmas Eve at Christmas Eve parties? They kiss under the mistletoe. Oh, and what a wonderful thing that is. Yes, and leads to adultery and fornication and all kinds of other things, doesn't it? Wreaths. What does a wreath represent? Well, they're associated with fertility and the circle of life. Being circular, they also represent, you get the book, you could read it. They even have modern songs, Great Balls of Fire. And you know what that's talking about. And that's what the wreath represents. Santa Claus, the biggest fake in history. And by the way, did you know that the Pope, the supposed Christian leader of the world, is buried in a Santa Claus suit? Doesn't that identify him as the successor of Nimrod? You need to step back and take a long, hard look at the religions of this world and their idols and their paganism and everything that they do and know that is not of God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Can't be had because you come along and you add things to it. Can't be had because you think it's good. Santa Claus. And he's supposed to have the powers of knowing the hearts of all the little children. You know, here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Be good. You'll get a present. Be bad. You won't get anything. Yes. Huh. Reindeer. The horned animals representing the horned god or the stag god of pagan religion. Santa traditionally has a team of eight reindeer, the satanic geomantic 8 is the number of new beginnings or the cycle of reincarnation. Taking a number of God, making it a new beginning, but it's all wrapped up in paganism. Nothing like lying and stealing and cheating, right? Oh, how about elves? Little imp-like creatures are Santa's little helpers. No, they're not. They represent Satan's little demons. Santa Claus doesn't live at the North Pole. Can you ever run a factory at the North Pole? That is stupid. That is absolutely incredibly bad. And even the whole system is involved in it. And even the Post Office of the United States of America has people answer letters written to Santa Claus to keep all of our little children deceived. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God says it's an abomination. Green and red are the traditional colors of the season as they are the traditional pagan colors of winter. Are we Christian or pagan? Pagan. December 25th was also known to the Romans as Saturnalia, a time of deliberate debauchery, drinking through repeated toastings known as wassailing, was a feature of this celebration. The mistletoe symbolized fornication, and the entire event was finished by a great feast, the Christmas supper, with ham from a hog, which God says, don't eat. How anti-God, anti-Christ is Christmas. It comes from Satan the devil. It keeps people in bondage. It is based upon lies and not truth. It is based upon the evil of men's ways, exalting self, exalting selfishness. It's based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pretentious pride of physical life. Not on spirituality whatsoever, not on humility, not on repentance, not on yielding to God, not out of the Word of God. Because if they truly would follow the Word of God, they would reject Christmas. They would reject Halloween. They would reject all of those things and live by every word of God, which they do not do. My, you're being awful hard on them. Well, would you rather hear it from a human being or God answer in his wrath personally? Will you hear the word of God? Will you change at that? Will you believe the word of God? Listen to what God says to this nation and to the world. We're out there trying to solve all of our problems, and somehow they just keep getting worse. The reason is, we're not turning to God. Oh, but we're going back to church. You have a religion. You're not returning to God. See, returning to a church is not returning to God. Freedom of religion is not the worship of God. God is the one who determines what it is. When God looks down at all these assemblies and all of these things, God who made us, who gave us life, who's given us choice between right and wrong, good and evil, he wants to bless us, he wants to love us, but we keep saying, God, you got to do it my way. Now, God, I don't like your way. We're going to do away with half of your Bible. All the Old Testament we're going to throw away. And God says in the Old Testament are all the warnings that you need to have so you do what is right. And then you read the New Testament. Oh, you can't stand some of those harsh words of Jesus. No, you've got to have a smooth preacher say, oh, let's put Christ back into Christmas. Let's have a wonderful time. And here is the meaning of the Christmas tree. And we think that's righteousness, and we think God is going to accept it. No way. No way. Here's what God says in Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, all of the pagan feasts. That's why we have the book, A Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, which to go through and contrast the difference between what Satan and the world presents as their Christianity and their world, compared to what God has said, and the God who changes not, the God whose truth, the God whose word is truth for everlasting in every generation, the God who emptied himself and became Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. But are you willing to come to the true Jesus and repent? Are you willing to forsake your way and go God's way? Are you willing to take the heat by turning your back on all of the evil, abominable practices of this world that are called Christian and are not? And are you willing to worship God in spirit and in truth? Are you willing to keep the commandments of God as God has said? Will your repentance lead that far? Here's what God says, "And your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me, and I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord." Are you willing to reason with God's word? Are you willing to come to God repentant? Are you willing to forsake the way of this world and Satan, the devil, and all the alluring aspects of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the heart, the lust of the eyes, and the pretentious pride of life? God says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If," there's that word, "if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Now, the Western world is at the crossroads. The professing Christian religion of this world in Europe and America and wherever it is at the crossroads. Are we going to return to God and forsake the way of the pagans? Or does God have to send the sword of destruction and send the collapse of the economy and send us off into captivity because we refuse to repent? What is it? It's in our hands to choose. What will you do? God says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, there are many more things we could say and talk about concerning Christmas. And we'll talk about Easter when we come around to it. But you download this booklet, Christmas, the greatest story never told. And then you need to really, really get serious if you want to get on God's side. You see, human beings have it all wrong. They want God to get on their side. God comes to you, and he is perfect, and he is righteous, and he is loving, and he is kind, and he is merciful and forgiving, and says, if you repent and get on my side, I will forgive you. But then you have to be willing and obedient after that. What is it that you're going to do? What is the crossroad that you're coming to in your life? Well, if you want a complete rundown on all the occult holidays, you write for the book, Occult Holidays and God's Holy Days, which? In there, we describe and show everything. You can check it out. You can prove it. You can go online where the reviews and comments about the Bible we've produced, about the booklets that we have produced, and you will find that it is testified over and over and over and over again that we preach the truth and nothing but the truth. And we verify the facts and we make sure that we get them right. See, Church at Home has no political agenda. We have no hidden thing that we are trying to do. We desire in the freedom of your home, that you search out and seek out and find the truth of God and come to understand Him through study and repentance and yieldedness to God. We're living in the days when it's all hell is going to break loose. And if you are not on God's side, you're not going to know what's going to hit you. And it's all because of things like Christmas, and all because men want to tell God what to do, when God, who is God, is the one who tells us what to do. So if you love God, you love Jesus, you sit down and you think about it and ask yourself, what am I going to do? Yes, Lord, what shall I do? So once again, please be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and download God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, the whole series of those sermons. And so once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. I hope that you hear and will listen to the truth of God. Reject the errors of this world. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone. Thank you.